Corn Palace, and then we cut across and went to, went down through Missouri. We crossed the Mississippi River on a tug that didn't have any sides to it. I didn't realize that the highway was nice, you know, and it kept been so jungly, all on both sides of the highway. And she thought, "Whoa, gee, this is pretty." It was beautiful. And we come to the end of the line. There was a Mississippi River and no bridge. So I went in the little store that was kind of hidden back in the vines and asked them how I got across the river. And they said, "You just go out there and holler and they'll come get you." And when I went back out of the store, I saw the tug coming across and it had a car on it. And of course I waited, and this car was coming across is from San Diego, California. They wanted to know where we were from. Said they were from San Diego. And I drove down this steep embankment. There was no landing. This tug was just right up close to the sand. And I drove down this steep embankment and onto the tug, and my sister sat there holding her seat. And he ferried us across, and then when we got on the other side, we were in Kentucky. And that was equally beautiful, just beautiful. We couldn't have found a more beautiful highway anywhere. And we went into the Smokies and on over to the East Coast in Tennessee. And then we went, come back to part of the South, and stopped at the Carlsbad Caverns coming home. It was nice. She enjoyed it. The first time she had ever been anywhere. She married and settled right down all during the war, right there in San Bernardino, and then they moved to Seal Beach, and he started the plumbing shop, and there they stayed. So it was only after I got free that she really got to go anywhere. Well, I guess maybe they did camping trips and things like that, but not really to go anywhere. Never saw the East or anything, but this time she did. And then after that, my sister-in-law, my brother died, and then my sister-in-law wanted to take a trip, so I took a trip with her, and we went up to Nova Scotia, the Gaspé Peninsula. Well, that was fantastic, really. Yeah. We did the Niagara Falls and Quebec and Montreal. And I really like to go back to Quebec again. And I didn't see near all of it. That day was a nice trip, and I did all the driving. And, she kept talking about the trip, even the last time I saw her. That was the one thing that was the highlight in her life, was the trip to Nova Scotia. And she died last year, too. So, there I am, at the end of the line. The last one.
Strong.
Yeah. Outlived them all.
You told me before that you built a house in
Seal
Beach.
Yes, I did.
And I think that part was erased on the other table. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to tell me about that.
Yes, I sold this place, and there was money to spare after I bought the lot. It was down across from the city hall, and the police station was around the corner in the city hall. But it was right downtown in Seal Beach, and it was brand new. It was something I'd wanted, compact in every way. But after I married Stanglin, he was always in a fight with one of the councilmen or the mayor or the manager, somebody. And of course they got real mad at him. And so they began raising my taxes to a place where I couldn't stay. And I tried to keep him from going over there and talking, but it was no use, so I just sold the place. And I bought one out in Garden Grove. It was a custom-built house, too. But I bought it as a down payment as my son as the buyer on a Calvet loan. And that was a thorn in my husband's side. He wanted to use that money on his place or to spend it going to a Europe. And I couldn't see things quite that way. And so we moved to Garden Grove, and he was killed while we lived there. And when my son never said he was going to get married, I just got an apartment and moved out. I moved into an apartment by myself. So that ended the end of my home.
How was that for you?
Well, kind of distracting. I'm the type of person that needs a home. I need to own it. The rents that keep going up, and to a place where I couldn't very well afford to rent an apartment. So I moved from one place to another until my daughter, who had been living in Arizona, moved back to California, and she thought I was too old and decrepit to live alone, so she insisted I move in with her. So my son-in-law did too, but that's not the answer either. I still need my own home. And well, now that I've got one coming up, I feel a lot better about it. But I'll be on the 12th floor, right up in the clouds. And I'll have my own thing. It's like you say, I won't have to close the bathroom door every time I go to the bathroom. And I can have people in and entertain myself. And like last night, I was called over to my niece's, and I guess she's going to get married again, because there was a young man I'd never met before, her father and her brother, and two very close friends, and this young man and his mother and father, and me. And I noticed he did quite a bit of the housework, and was seemed to be very much at home there. And when I left, I said, well, I hope I'll see you again. He says, you're going to see a lot of me. So I just took it from here that there was a romance going on. And I'm going to be living just about two blocks from them. And they're anxious to have me move in so they can come over. So I'll have my company too. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a lot of the people that have been the senior citizens, I know, and they'll be living there too. And we'll have a lot in common. There'll be trips, potlucks, and card games, and crafts.
It's a senior citizen
right.
residence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's so conveniently located. It's right across from the Five Point Shopping Center there in Huntington Beach. And everything's there, plus just down the street a little way is the hospital and all these clinics, you know, doctor's clinic, dentist. So I shouldn't be lost. Just cross the street. So I think it'd be great. And I'm not the only one looking forward to it.
Since you retired from Douglas, have you worked anywhere else? Have you done any other kind of work?
Oh, yes. When I first retired, I took care of this woman. She was alcoholic, but she had fallen and broken her hip, and she was confined to a wheelchair. She lived in this great big two-story house there in Surfside, and her bed was downstairs, and all I was supposed to do was to bathe her and get her meals, dress her, and she had a woman come in to do her hair, and she had a cleaning woman for the house. But she also had a friend who came to visit, and she stayed for 20 years. And she resented me. She would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, put the dinner on for that evening, so that I couldn't do it. It didn't matter. And then she'd get busy and she'd tear the house to pieces and she'd clean up. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm being paid to do all this. I said, but if you're trying to show me up, I said, I've been showing up by experts. And I said, I'll sit down and I'll let you. I'll let you show me up. I said, I don't have to work. It didn't stop her. But she kept being such a nuisance and everything. She kept saying, now, Ethel's going to burn us up. We're going to burn up in our beds because she smoked. Well, this woman smoked too. I didn't. And she'd get mad and she'd leave. Well, she left once too often. And the lady said, I don't know what to do about Aura. And I said, well, I knew. I said, just tell her she can't come back. She said, well, she's got no money. And she just lives from one person to another, and I'm the only one that will take her. I said, she'll find a way. She's bound to. And I said, if it come down to it, I said, why don't you go live with your daughter? I said, your daughter has to make these trips down here, and I know a lot of times it's inconvenient for her. And that if you were living with your daughter, she works, and her husband works, and at least they would have dinner with you every night, and they would see that you were well taken care of. she says, you know, I think I'll call her up. So she did. And her daughter was so pleased. She thought that was wonderful. And she got ready and moved. And I packed the stuff up for her. And there was another job I was in. Yeah, I was that. And then since then, I haven't cared about going in. This woman, I said, is alcoholic. And I don't enjoy being around people who drink like that. It is unpleasant. And so I decided that I just would do volunteer work. So I worked in a sewing project where the woman made clothes and sent to Vietnam. But there wasn't enough machinery and machines for everybody to work, and you know, people get kind of possessive when they work that way. This is their chair, this is their machine, and all. Well, I don't want to argue. So I told them at the volunteer station that I just didn't want that. So they asked me to go over to the Huntington Beach Library and work over there. So I went over there, and I worked over there for about a year and a half. I was bookbinding and putting covers on books, the plastic covers on to save them. Magazines, some of them were so old, clear back to 1928. Life magazine, very interesting. I got to look through them and remarks on, very interesting work. And they do put on some very nice exhibits over there. They had one exhibit over there, was all done by an African. The legs on the table were like a giraffe's legs. And all there were six glass inlays in the table. Oh, it was done perfectly. And the chairs were of different animals that they had been upholstered, and very, very beautiful. And then they also had exhibits of quilts and old antiques. They had something going all the time over there. It was nice. But I got kind of sidetracked after, I went to, I went back to Nebraska to see my son, and when I come back, I wasn't feeling too good. And so I just laid around, just got out of the habit, and till I asked again for an assignment, and they just told me that I would take things from out of the club, you know, like delivering hot meals and taking people to the doctor who couldn't get there. And so that's what I've been doing since then. I haven't been idle. And incidentally, I will also show you some of the doll clothes that I've been making and selling. That was just a pastime. With the scraps that I have, they don't cost me anything. And you'd be surprised at what people will pay for. For things like that. And other than the club, I'm just simply just a lady of leisure.
I know that you told me about your friend in Kernville who you worked with at
Douglas. Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if after your retirement you kept in touch with very many of your friends.
Not really. We were closer together. These three of us, the one who moved to Arkansas, and the one who is from Arkansas, but she lives in Kernville, and I, had more or less a lot in common. We worked closer together for over so many years. So we did keep in contact, but the rest of them, no. The lead man was that I worked for most was in the same year in high school as my niece. And we had a lot in common while I was working. But there's 20 years difference in our ages. And he always used to talk to me a lot when I was working, because I knew a lot of the people he knew. And my stepsons, he knew them, and the older ones. But I haven't kept in contact with him either. He just lives over here in Midway City. And I still got his address. Someday I'll write him a note and see what is going on. I understand from I hear when I do go to those meetings that the lead man is now a foreman. And some of the other girls that were in welding have also made foremen. So it's all through the grapevine. It's not nothing that I know exactly as being so.
Something that I wanted to ask you, and I forgot, either during the war itself or when you went back in the 50s, did you know during any lesbians at Douglas?
No. No. We had two girls working in our department. And one, she kept her hair cut real short, like a man. But then she had very beautiful hair, very, real black, and it was real wavy. And she and this other girl were from Indiana, both of them from Indianapolis. And they had come out here together and started to work for Douglas. Well, of course, some of the men tried to date this little dark-haired one. She was the attractive one. The other one was nice, but let's say she wasn't very photogenic. She was a nice person. Now, I'll say this. Some of the men who tried to date her, she turned them down. No, she didn't want to go with them. She had never been married, but the other one had, and she had two daughters. Now, I went up to Hollywood with both of them, and they came to my house several times. As a matter of fact, I invited them on a Christmas boat trip. My son had a boat, and we were going to watch the Santa Claus parade there in Los Alamitos Bay. And I asked them to go along. Bob said he'd take two. And they came over. And after the parade went by, my son drove down the canal. And the water was high. And we could see into the homes, you know, that were all decorated up along the canal. It was a fabulous trip. And they said they'd never had such a beautiful trip. Now, I was out with those women, and they'd come to my house. By no way, no way were they lesbians. And they had also been up to Clomer's. And she asked them if they wanted to share the same room, and they said, no, we never do. Going to home. You got enough to bed. Why, we don't want to sleep together. But it's these men, was what they said, that a lot of people thought they were. But I definitely do not. No, I don't. I didn't know any.
I just wondered if there was much harassment in the plant.
Well,
that kind of thing.
There was a lot of. I think they both of them heard the talk because one day, one of them got so mad at something she heard about she and her roommate that she was going to walk out of Douglas without getting a pass out, and Cromer talked her out of it. And the other one, she got so mad that she drove her to San Diego one day because of the talk she heard. But this was men's talk. Say what you like. Men are bigger gossips than women. More vicious. But these two women, no way were they lesbians. I don't believe it.
I don't think I ever asked you if religion was very important in your life.
Yes, religion is. Everyone should have some religious training. I went to not only a church in the morning on Sunday. I went to an afternoon little mission that was within less than a block from my home.
This was when you were in Seal Beach?
No, when I was growing up. When I was in Seal Beach, I went to the Methodist Church because it was the only church there at the time. And I wanted my children to go, and they did. Oh, yeah. I'm very much in favor of religion, and I'm in favor of children having a religious training. They might not stick to it always. They might not believe everything. Who knows? But there aren't any more beautiful stories than we hear going to church. No, I think I'm very much in favor of religion.
Are you able to go to church now?
Oh, I go, not as often as I should. But I go say maybe twice a year, maybe three times, sometimes more often. And definitely every time I go to San Bernardino, my niece is an organist, and I go every Sunday with her, and I go up to San Bernardino quite often. So I'd say maybe I go more than twice a year. She goes to the Church of Christ. And all religions are so much alike. We're all trying to go to the same place. So 1 hour a day a week don't hurt anybody. You don't have to get to be a fanatic. I don't go for that. But I do think a little religion helps a lot.